The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
It is Royce Lewis Day, and we are grading the two starters for next week. Hope you'll join us on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Clay Link here with Hall of Famer Todd Zola on this Friday. Glad to have you with us. We will be grading two start pitchers as we normally do. But as I mentioned, it is Royce Lewis Day. So Carlos Correa got hurt. And there's a ton of rain in the Midwest, but somehow Minneapolis got spared. So we will be seeing Royce Lewis tonight against Zach Logue and company. And it seems like, Todd, maybe Royce Lewis is kind of headlining this next Fabapalooza or an upcoming Fabapalooza this weekend.
We just missed the sirens. Perfect timing. Isn't it Duran Duran Day?
Yeah, Duran was called up.
It's Royce Lewis Day. I'm just teasing. No, yeah, and I mean, we've in AL and NL only leagues, this isn't anything new. We've been talking about this for years, that you don't save for the Fabapalooza at the trade deadline anymore. There's usually a couple of cases along the way where you get promotion of prospects. It used to be, you know, one Super Two, and there were a couple of like sort of logical times. Now I don't know that I don't think that's as much of a concern anymore. I think it's just you always want to be prepared each week in AL and NL only to take a dive into the prospects. And has the report on Correa come out yet as far as how serious it is?
Last I saw that they were going to give him a CT scan to confirm.
Right, that's what I saw as well. Okay.
The initial reports are that it's a fracture. So that sucks for Correa, but you know, saying with James, like it's kind of like the circle of life, you know, not that Correa's still with us, thankfully. But as a guy gets hurt, we get this the new blood coming in to replace him. So poetic in a sense, but if you got a feel for Correa.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, I think it's interesting. The Twins had options. Yeah, they could have gone Nick Gordon. They could have gone internally. Well, going internally, they could have gone with the 25, the active roster. But they, like many other teams have done earlier in the season, have gone with their hot shot prospect, and Lewis has certainly earned the call up.
Yeah, he's been great at AAA. Just been out of this world. So
yeah.
And they have Jose Miranda up now too, who's
right
playing a lot for Sano and the like. So
yeah,
maybe two Twins as part of this Fabapalooza this weekend. Although you know when they get Kirilloff back, and Larnick's playing okay, I'm a little less sure about Miranda's playing time than Royce Lewis's, but two guys to definitely watch for. MJ Melendez is in that group too, and who am I forgetting? Juan Yepes, and
there's a lot of we mentioned Duran,
Duran, yep,
yeah, and there's a couple of pitchers, but we're never sure if the pitchers are going to stay up or coming up for one of the frequent doubleheaders. Both planned and now unplanned with the weather in the East Coast and the Mid-Atlantic. Just kind of, I think the technical word is icky today. So
it is. It's gross here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And we'll see if, I mean, I think there might be another few cancellations or threats of cancellations. We've already got three games bang today. So pretty ugly. And it's kind of an exciting time because we do have this new influx of talent.
Sure.
Max Meyer, maybe the next one to join. He's on the pitching side and flashing very high upside in the minors. So maybe Eliezer Hernandez gets bumped. Max Meyer was picked up in the Stake League last night for $5. I was up pretty late, and I saw the Correa news at around 11 Central. So I got in a bid for Royce Lewis. Got him for $3 in the Stake League last night. Good for
yum,
me,
yum.
Right?
But, yum, yum.
I'd expect to have to pay about 10 times that.
Eat away.
If you want him this weekend.
Eat away, yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping Royce Lewis can hold his own and hit for a little power because, you know, I do not have much pop on my team right now.
He's doing a little running. He's running a little bit. Was it 7-for-8 or is that Duran? They're both running.
Yeah, Duran coming off that ACL for Lewis. Yeah, that's great.
They're both running, yeah.
Other pickups in the Stake League last night, Ryan Helsley was still out there, so I had a $5 bid on him. He goes for $12. And then your guy, Edward Olivares, for $10. I don't know if he's your guy, but we've talked about him a bunch over the past few years. He was up and down so much they had to make a new rule to limit the number of times a guy could be up and down. And
yeah,
but leading off now, that's a pretty good sign for him. That game's under threat of rain too tonight, but the lineup released by Kansas City does have Edward Olivares leading off yet again.
Yeah, it is. It is a promising sign. We'll see if that holds. Well, I mean, not about the game, but in general, if the Royals have finally turned the corner and are going to give Olivares a true shot, that would be great. Last year, I liked him for cheap speed, and he never came to fruition. I also liked Jared Oliva from the Pirates, and that he's been released. So maybe that's not a very good omen.
Wow, has he?
I thought he had. Or maybe he cleared away. This
is DFA'd or something?
Yeah, this is a while ago.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I don't know what to trust the Royals or not to trust the Royals at this point. But in my what have you done for me lately approach, man hitting leadoff, I'm all over it.
Yeah, disappointed to see Melendez not in the lineup today. Why? They're dead last in the majors in scoring, and you bring the guy up. Why would you not start him? But
well,
the game may be rained out anyway. So.
He is the backup catcher at this point, correct? I mean,
yeah, but he can play
right. Corners, but you can field corner, but if you don't have three catchers, that's kind of taking a risk. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know Perez is Mr. Durability. But even so, he replaced Gallagher on the roster. So I can kind of – this. I'm not as perturbed about this move as it may be for a different prospect because right now he's the backup catcher.
Yeah, I hear you. I would like to see him getting a shot, though, because, again, I don't know if I mentioned it here, but he led the majors in or minors in home runs last year, Melendez.
Yep.
Cleared 40, so – with their offensive woes, I'm just having a hard time wrapping my head around it. Other pickups in the Stake League, Yadiel Hernandez has been hot, but I don't see it myself. Luke Voit was dropped and then picked up for $5. I had a small bid on him, but I had him behind Royce Lewis, actually. So that goes to show you where we are on Luke Voit at this stage. Michael Walker for $4. Jose Miranda for $4. James Caprillion for $3. Should get him back. Wilmer Flores for $3. Trevor Larnach for $3. Tyro Estrada for $3. Josh Winder for $2. And Winder looks like he's a – that was a James pickup, by the way. And Winder's got a nice matchup tonight. So if you're scrambling and you're in a daily moves league, you want to pick up and plug in Josh Winder.
Yep, he was one of the guys I wrote up for ESPN today for streamers. So I've got him in the staff league. Picked him up as a minor leaguer that I hope to use this year. I'm not doing well in the staff league. It didn't work out so well, but it's still a little bit early. But yeah, that was the plan with Winder. Nice affirmation or confirmation that James is in on it. 12 strikeouts, 4 walks in 16 and a third. went six innings against Tampa last time, seven strikeouts, one walk. So he's given the length and he struck out some Rays. So I think it's an easy stream tonight, and we'll go from there, because we're not sure when Ober's coming back, and we're not sure if Bundy will, you know, there are openings in that rotation, but you know, he's still going to have to pitch well to earn it.
And, you know, usually we on our MLB Network radio show talk about drops a little bit. And I have kind of relieved myself of that show. So you're doing that now with the Halterman. But I will say, you know, one drop candidate anyway that I want to throw by is Josh Lowe. I think a lot of people will be tempted to. Do you think it's the right call to drop Josh Lowe at this point?
I'm being a little prescient. I bet we talk about drops tomorrow, and I'll bet Josh Lowe's not on the list.
No.
We pre-recorded the show. No, Eric had a decent little list. Yes. I mean, I think Lowe is, it's to me, and I mentioned the what have you done for me lately before, and I talked about it with Jeff earlier in the week on Sirius. I really think, especially in NFBC leagues where you only have seven reserves, until we know more about the ball and what they may do and how you can combat it, I can't give you a list of players to pick up. I just can't, because things may change and it may backfire. To me, the way to counter it or feed into it is, and this is always the case, this isn't anything new, but and it's like, you know, I always give 110%. Well, you got to give 110% in the effort to maximize at bats, maximize plate appearances. And in order to do that, you need as many players as possible. If you don't have the reserves to figure out who has four games, who has three against the right-hander or three against the left, well, there's not going to be three against the left-hander. If you don't have the reserves available to maximize your matchups, you're going to fall behind. And if that means dropping a Josh Lowe, if that means dropping a Charlie Morton, then you got to do it, because when they come back or when they turn it around, you're going to be behind. So I think that more so than ever, you really can't stash and you really can't sit on prospects and you know, the injured players, you really have to, you know, Miguel Sano, I don't know. Well, he's not going to be out that. Well, no, he is going to be out a little while now. I mean, you know, I think he's, whereas before he's not a drop, I think he's a drop. Just because I need that roster spot to get, you know, the four versus three or the better matchup over the weekend.
Yeah, plate appearances, innings are king, and
they're always king. But yeah, they're even more so. You know, I mean,
in this offensive environment,
yeah it's not the skill, it's the volume. You just, you know, that's my opinion anyway. And of course, I'm not, unfortunately, I don't have a main event team to put my money where my mouth is, but I really want to win the TGFBI, and that's the same idea. So that's my approach. So I am playing it that way, but I can't satisfy those that don't believe that free leagues don't matter.
I hear you, man. I went into the year thinking, okay, I'll have one stash, but then they pile up because the guys at the IL.
Yeah.
It does just leave you with, you know, if you have too many, you just have few options in those half weeks. So,
yep,
I get what you're saying. I think I'll be getting Josh Rojas back soon, maybe Luis Castillo. But I mean,
Rojas's role is, I think he should be the third baseman, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion.
You know, he could be more of a util guy, but yeah, I think he's going to play pretty much every day.
I'd like
linebackers aren't that bad, though. I mean, win loss wise,
so and far. They've also said they're not going to put Rojas in the outfield. So, you know, they have to be the infield then. And all right, we mentioned third with Ahmed back at shortstop, and Marte's picking it back up again. He's hit the ball hard for five straight days. I don't know. I think Rojas deserves to play third. But whether they just leave him there or not remains to be seen. But yeah, he definitely can help. I think it's a little bit of speed, if nothing else, coming back.
Now, again, we're still waiting on Correa, but that may be a tough drop decision. Like, if he's out 8 weeks, maybe you have to think about Correa. But
yeah, and it's not the skill; it's the need of the roster spot. And when he comes back, not being so far behind that it doesn't matter how good he hits.
Yeah, good points. Well, anybody else on your, you know, in your crosshairs for pickups this week, or not so much?
I haven't gone that deep yet. I'm still
putting you on the spot a little bit.
No, I mean I'm trying to. I'm actually interested in Durant, not just necessarily because of a Red Sox fan. I think it has to do with the price, because I think people may think it's a short term pickup with Eliezer Hernandez, Enrique Hernandez, Kike, sick, and I think he may go down, but the Red Sox could use a spark, and Jackie Bradley Jr. is certainly not providing any offense. He's all right, but I wouldn't be surprised if he sticks around a little longer. I have a slight interest in Miranda, just because what you mentioned with Sano. I don't know. I guess that's Lewis obviously as well. But
doesn't sound like you're going to be breaking the bank.
I don't know that. I don't know. No, and
you're
I
not
also,
that type of fantasy player anyway.
Well, no, actually, to be honest with you, if I need a guy, I overpay in a mixed league. I have not checked.
You're not the kind of guy who goes chasing a hot prospect.
Usually. Not a hot prospect, no. But I will if there's a pitcher I think that will help for the rest of the season, even though I'm about saying all the whole thing, I'm not a rest of the season guy anymore. I mean, what have you done for me lately? But if there is a type that I think will stick around and be good, I'm not averse to putting down 323 and seeing the next guy at 113 and having people make fun of me on Twitter. I don't care. I got the guy.
Yeah, so you're not worried about any backlash or comments, but of course not. But you're also not the kind of guy who's gonna get caught up in the hype, and I respect that. I have been guilty of it here and there, but you learn and you move on. Real quick, we had a comment from our colleague Ken Kreitz, K Train, and since we were on the topic of the Red Sox, I'll throw this at you now. Do you have a favorite to lead the Red Sox in saves this year, or are you just kind of hands off this bullpen?
I think, you know what? I would like to think that the Red Sox saves leader is currently not on the team. I don't know. That means that Bloom's going to have to make a move soon. I don't know that that's in the radar. I don't think you make a move for a closer unless you're absolutely positive that you're going to make the playoffs, yada, yada, yada. And I'm not absolutely positive they're going to finish above 500 right now. I think they'll finish at 500, but but the other hand, this team's record in one run in close games is just horrible. I think they're 0-5 in extra innings alone. So, I mean, they could use one. I don't think Hanse Robles is very good. But Alex Cora seems to like him. Jake Diekman isn't that good. I don't know. I mean, it's not just because I'm a Red Sox fan. Maybe it's because I'm a little closer that I have a little, maybe a little more insight into each individual entity. But this one's got me baffled. The problem is none of them are any good. You can't say it's got the best skills, go with this guy. They're all terrible. Is it Whitlock? I don't know. I think it was an article in The Athletic. I haven't read it yet, but bookmarked, where they talk about how Whitlock can both start and be a closer. I'd like to read that article.
Yeah, I think Whitlock's pitching his way into that long-term plan in the rotation. So I don't know if it's him. And, Matt Barnes got a save on April 22nd, but since then, five earned runs in four innings. Ugh. It's not a lot of great options. Kind of like the Reds. I mean, the Red Sox aren't nearly as bad, but there's just nobody. It's maybe best to just not look at anybody there because it's just give you a headache. Before we head to the two-start starters, let's first take care of a little piece of business, and we'll be back momentarily after these quick messages.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, we are now back on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It is the Two Start Starter Pod, and so we will dive in right now into the Two Start Starters for next week, the week of May 9th, 2022. So we are, I think it's, what, a month into the season today, isn't it?
Pretty much. Well, I don't know if it's a month, but it's 4 weeks, right?
Yeah,
I mean, pretty much. Technically a month, like, yeah. It's four, yeah,
4 weeks start, of the day, I think.
You started on a Thursday, so it's pretty much, yeah, pretty much a... Yeah, and it started on the 7th. Yeah, it's as good as it's a month, Zola. Shut the hell up and let Clay talk. It's a month.
No, it's fine. Yeah, it is a month, but it's one of six. So keep your head down and keep grinding and check in on your team in another month or so. I mean, I'm not saying that I don't look at any of my standings ever, but I also know that it takes some a long time to really take meaningful
shape. Starting to take a look. I'll say it. I'm starting to look at my standings. Yeah.
I mean, I'll take a glance, but I really don't put much stock into what they look like right now.
I don't get concerned. I don't, no. I'm not, you know, but I have now started to look and find out where I am. Yeah.
So two start starters for the week of May 9th, Humberto Castellanos. I mean, he's got a serviceable, you know, in real life anyway, a serviceable 4.12 ERA versus Miami versus Chicago. Just not somebody I see really clearing really any bar for me. So I think I'm going to have to go zero. Like, I just can't see picking up Humberto Castellanos.
I'm going zero, but I'm going to look at him. He's pitching better than I thought he would.
Todd, did I lose you? Oh, there you are.
Oh, well, I didn't even hit mute this time. I say with Castellanos, he's not a guy that I'm using right now, but I think he's pitching better than I thought he was. So I do want to keep an eye. He went 5 2/3 last time. So, you know, he went five two starts previous. So he's going the distance or enough of a distance, but to me, it's too much of a risk still.
Yeah, just not enough of a proven commodity.
And this is, and I am aggressive. You know, like I said, I'm gonna play it aggressive, and I think Castellano is that delineation line. The very first pitcher we talk about, I don't know if he's a delineation line, but I have a sense he's going to be the delineation line of better than Castellanos. I'm going with not, you know, worse than it is an automatic sit.
I hear you. Well, no two start starters for Atlanta. They got two off days next week, but for Baltimore, a couple road starts for Kyle Bradish at St. Louis, at Detroit. He made his debut and didn't pitch all that poorly. He's actually made a couple starts now. First outing was pretty good. He had a quality start, but then against Minnesota, he gave up four earned runs in as many innings. So K's aren't really great right now. This feels like kind of a trap because he has a little prospect pedigree. I know he was already picked up in a lot of spots. In leagues where he's still available, I'm not really chomping at the bit to go get Kyle Bradish. But I think I might give him a one. Like, I could see it. I mean, whereas I can't really see it with Castellanos, I could at least see it with Bradish if I was really desperate.
I agree in principle, but both away games, both away starts, I'm going to shy away from this one.
I hear you. So I'm going zero. Yeah. I got you. I'll be keeping our scores here. And at the end of the show, we'll recap them. And I will also add the two-star pitcher grades to the show notes. So check them out there if you want. Kyle Hendricks at San Diego, at Arizona. Brutal start for him. He had that great opening day start. And then it's all been downhill, seems like, for Kyle Hendricks. Pretty good matchups here, though. So, I mean, this may be one where 12, where it's like, deploy him or cut him. And then if he doesn't fare well here, you cut him. I'm probably going to go with a three. And maybe be high. I'll go two. No, he really has been terrible.
Yeah, last year was so weird in that he was horrible, then really, really, really good, and then horrible again.
Yeah.
It was just so bizarre.
I remember you noting that maybe in our Outlook or somewhere else.
Yeah, I probably wrote that. To me, it's either you either start or you don't. I mean, with a guy like Hendricks at San Diego to Arizona. Arizona's so bad that I guess I'm going to give him a two.
I think that's about right.
Yeah.
Hard to trust, and if you don't feel good about it, maybe you cut Kyle Hendricks. But
I don't think you will lose the league by cutting Kyle Hendricks.
No, I don't think so either. Luis Castillo looks like he'll finally be back for the Reds. This team is so bad, though. 3-22. It could be rained out tonight, but if they do play, the only storyline that's worth watching there is if a fan will defecate in the Toyota Tundra. But Luis Castillo, I know he's done okay in his rehab, but on this team, and the fact that he's not like, I guess he could pitch close to a normal workload. He threw 76 pitches the last time out. Still would like to see it. I guess with Luis, though, I'll give him a two. Like he's on the Hendricks level.
Giving him higher on Castillo than most anyway. I want to say four, but I'm going to say three. Just because I do think you have to watch the innings. And I think if he was pitching six innings, he'd be a four. So if he's only going to go five, I'm going to go three.
Vladimir Gutierrez breaks the scale in the opposite direction. He's like a negative one.
Yep.
Zach Plesac at the White Sox, at Minnesota. He's been serviceable, I guess, from a real-life perspective. But 1-3 with a 4.44 ERA just doesn't play in a mixed league right now. White Sox are pretty iffy, though, and so I'm going to give Plesac like a one.
I'll agree.
He's kind of on that.
I'll agree.
Braid-ish, yeah. If you really need somebody. But not somebody I'm excited to trot out there this week, that's for sure. Austin Gomber at San Francisco, at KC. I was talking with Jeff on the XM show, and I know you like to be aggressive at this stage, and I don't think that's a terrible call, but I do think you want to be – you know, you have to draw the line somewhere. You can't just be throwing anybody out there. I was skeptical about Gomber yesterday, or I guess it was Wednesday, but then he got the win, and it was at home against Washington. So not the toughest opponent, but I got to give Gomber a little credit. Now, this is Jeff also pointed out that the infamous Gomber two-step from last year started at San Fran.
Yep.
Then the second one ends versus Kansas City. I don't want to get gombered, but I think I'll give him a two.
I agree. And I think San Francisco got him twice last year, as a matter of fact. And I heard you, we've talked about it. I heard the talk you had with Jeff. To me, it's a difference between being aggressive and reckless. I don't want to be reckless. And I think our reckless, our aggressive line is your different. I think that I'm a little higher up on the scale where I draw the line, but I think I just draw it a little bit higher than you right now.
Yeah, that's fair. I hear you. It is offense probably never be lower in our lifetime, hopefully. So I get it game theory wise. Michael Kopech, Lucas Giolito. Giolito's still a five for me. Kopech's been really pretty darn solid, but no wins, so let's see. He's gone five three times, but when you're kind of like hoping and praying he gets five, it's tough to get a win. Tough to expect a win anyway. So I'm gonna give Kopech probably a four because he's so good on a per inning basis, but with the caveat that you're probably not gonna get many wins.
No, I agree 100%. Exactly what I would have said.
So you got Giolito five too.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, cool. And then Kopech, did I say four? I'm sorry. I did say four, didn't I? Yep. Okay, next up, Michael Pineda. And I guess, so I guess they got a doubleheader too early next week. So it'd be Pineda and Skubal. getting two for them. So Pineda's tough to figure out this guy, but he gets Oakland and then versus Baltimore. Versus Oakland versus Baltimore doesn't get much better than that. So I think I'll give Pineda a three.
No, I agree. I agree.
Then
save some time. I'll say yes.
And then where are you on Scoobal?
I am probably Baltimore and Oakland. I'm a two. I'm sorry. I reverse that. I'm a four.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say three, but I got you down for a four.
Yeah. I'm a four.
Yeah. I think those matchups that make sense. I'll skew a little bit lower.
Yeah. Yeah.
No two-start starters for Houston. Then for KC, Brad Keller. Man, I mean, 1.74 ERA at Texas, at Colorado. At Colorado dings him quite a bit, but I still think Keller's probably like a two.
At Colorado, he's a zero. That's all. I mean, yeah, I do not trust Brad Keller enough to use at Colorado. I just don't.
I hear you. Yeah, that is a tough one. I'll go one, but I got you down as a zero.
Okay, yeah, no, that's good.
Noah Syndergaard versus Tampa Bay at Oakland. Thor's been pretty good. I mean, I don't have Thor anywhere, so he's kind of flying under my radar a bit. How many strikeouts does he have? He only has 14 Ks in 24 innings. That's kind of surprising.
Ks are way down. He's pitching well, but he's not exhibiting the wipeout stuff, and whether it's by design or he just doesn't have it anymore, I'm not sure. I like to think that he's, you know, starting out a little bit slower, you know, finessing a bit. And at some point when he needs that wipeout slider, he can dig it and get it, but maybe not use it every time. But right now, these matchups, I'm going four with these matchups.
Same.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay, let's get back to it then. Julio Urias at Pittsburgh versus Philly. That's a five for me, especially with that start at Pitt.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, so five for Urias. Eliezer Hernandez, 6.66 ERA. That's pretty devilish. That was terrible. I'm sorry. But he's a guy who, kind of alluded to Max Meyer earlier. Maybe it's Max Meyer getting two starts, or maybe Max Meyer gets the second of these two. We'll see. But Eliezer is definitely pitching for his rotation life right now. I'm going to give him a zero.
I'm going to give him a one because I still believe in the talent. Arizona's terrible, and I don't mind the Brewers at home. I don't mind the Brewers in Miami is what I meant.
Okay.
So you know what? I'm going to go two. These matchups to me warrant a two.
All right. I think he's on the verge of maybe losing it. And it just seems like he's given up a ton of homers.
Yeah. And those usually go away, especially in today's game. I think he's better than that. Now, I think he's a decent pitcher, but this is a team that's just loaded. I mean,
I think Eliezer's a decent pitcher too, but I think he could actually be like a really good reliever.
Max Meyer there, and Cabrera, he may have to be reliever out of necessity.
Yeah, that's true. Brandon Woodruff. Well, by the way, so you had Eliezer two, right?
Yeah, I get him a two.
Okay. Brandon Woodruff still got an ERA over five, but he had a great outing against the Reds, struck out 12. That's a team to get right against, and wouldn't you know it, he gets the Reds again to start this next week. So he's at Cincinnati this time. Then at Miami, I mean, that's a five.
Currently, and I have to adjust the innings and do some other tweaks, he's atop the listings for me.
Very top.
You know, the very top. He's a little bit ahead of Max Scherzer with one start. Mm-hmm. And I usually see three or four two-start guys. And I think that has to do with the way I altered the weighting of one versus two starts. But anyway, as of right now, and, you know, at Cincinnati – at Miami, I know they're both away games, but I don't know that it gets a whole lot better than that. It does. I mean, you can get Pittsburgh. There are some in Arizona, but that just goes to show how many teams there are nowadays where, you know, good matchups against.
Yeah, true. I mean, so many teams to pick on. And yeah, even though Woodruff has an ERA over five, that's not nearly enough to like ding him off ace status. So still a five for me. No two start starters for the Minnesota Twins. But for the Mets, what a rally last night. That was amazing. Lindor hit that homer. I was like, oh, that was a nice little homer and a losing effort. But turned out that sparked a comeback. And it was a lot of fun unless you had, like, Corey Knebel in your lineup. But Carrasco is at Washington versus Seattle. He's come around in a pretty big way, Carrasco. So I'm going to give him a four.
Yeah, just to step back on Woodruff. His FIP is 285. His XFIP is 332. So, yeah, so regression is coming his way. 60.3 left on base percent. Yeah, he's going to be fine. That Mets, it drives me nuts, calling out Joe Girardi for the way he managed. Everybody would have done that's what you do. You don't use a guy in a blowout game. You don't use a guy for two innings. You bring in your next guy to get him some work, and it just happened to backfire. Joe Girardi did not give up the runs.
I saw a couple like fired Joe Girardi too.
Yeah, he didn't. You know, he did what every manager would have done. You know, he'd get everybody a little bit of innings in a blowout game, and it just didn't work. And then, you know, Knebel didn't put out the fire like he's supposed to. It was just a confluence of a bunch of weird things. But anyway. Carrasco, Cookie. Now I forget what were the matchups?
At Washington versus Seattle.
I think it's a three.
Three, okay. I had a four, but I got.
To me, I'm still in the back of my mind. You know, he could go an inning and a third at any given outing and go and leave the game. It's probably warrants a four. It may be a four when I actually do my rankings, but I'm going to go with a three now.
I hear you, man. Jameson Taillon's been really, really strong. And a lot of talk about Nasty Nestor being, you know, such a standout. But really, the rotation top to bottom for New York has been
absolutely
stellar. So Taillon's doing his part. He does get Toronto at home, though, to start next week, then at the White Sox. So not the greatest matchups, but I think – I think I'd have him a tier or just a notch below Cookie. So I'm going to go with three, but I could definitely see a case for a higher grade.
I'm going to go three, but I actually may go higher as well. But I like him more than Carrasco, to be honest.
Okay. Good to know. I mean, he's been great. Toronto still scares me, even though.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. They haven't really been themselves lately. No doubt.
Paul Blackburn and Frankie Montas. These weird, like, one-offs just throw me off. So. Blackburn is at Detroit to start, but then Montas is versus Detroit. Then they're both versus LAA at the end of the week. So Blackburn, I kind of like, have him in a few leagues, so I'm going to probably be trotting him out. He's not a five, but since I'm going to be starting him everywhere I have him, I guess I got to give Paul Blackburn a four.
I got him down as a three, but it may be a four when I redo the innings. I think Oakland's got two doubleheaders. I don't remember how many natural games they have, but they have two doubleheaders next week. So it's going to be an odd week.
Nine games.
Is it? Do they have a full seven-game week and two doubleheaders?
No.
Wow. Okay. I know who's going to be leading my hitting article this week. to start working on the pun with nines to the nines or whatever. But yeah, I mean, Montas is a five, right?
There's got to be something wrong here with the grid because Tuesday's doubleheader. Doubleheader Montas says versus Detroit, but then Oler says at. About this because that can't be right. They're not playing one half doubleheader in Detroit. And then
sometimes they do that. I mean, there have been games where in recent history, there have been times where that's been done because of the schedule and COVID and everything else. So I don't know if this is the case, but have been times that's been done.
I'll just look here because I probably will have to email Tech if. So technically the Tigers are going to be the home team. I'm confused, but it says. Yeah, I'll have to figure this out, but I'm very confused. I guess the A's are going to be the home team at Comerica for one of those games.
So yeah, that's been happening. That's been happening fairly frequently over the past couple of years.
Yeah, what I was saying is that they're not going to play half of a doubleheader in Detroit, then go to.
That they will. That I'm pretty sure they will not do that. Yeah.
It'll be one of those where the team that's the away team will technically be the home team for one half.
Yeah. Didn't they do that in New York one day though? Didn't they take the train between the game? I think in New York a couple years back there was the same city doubleheader. Anyway, so.
There was this like 1998 Fox like commercial for a Subway series going around Twitter recently. Just so good. Like late 90s baseball was so great. Montas probably a five, right?
Montas is a five for sure. Yeah, okay. You're right. They do have nine games, Oakland. Wow. Okay.
Busy week for them.
Yep.
Ranger Suarez and Zach Wheeler. Wheeler's five, even though he's had a few struggles. Ranger's kind of like, I mean, he's not probably a cut for me yet, but I have him in a few leagues, and if he doesn't get on track soon, he may be a cut. So I'll give Ranger Suarez like a two and Wheeler a five.
Yeah, if it wasn't for that at LA, I would think a three. I'm going to go with a two for Suarez as well. But I still think he's got the talent. He's a tough one for me because I don't believe in waiting till I see it. I believe in just starting the guy. But he's kind of on that border of, you know, maybe I do want to see it first. But I'm going to go with a two. I think I need to give him a little bit of a deep dive.
I do too. I don't know what's going on, but before I cut Ranger Suarez, yeah, maybe, I should dig deeper.
He had a late start, right? Was it the visa?
Yep, that's right.
So, you know, so I mean, at this point, pitchers should be pretty much settled. But even so, you know, it is kind of an odd scenario. So anyway.
For the Pirates, you know, Bryce Wilson, I don't think you can trust. Quintana's been good, and he does get a home start against the Reds at the end of the week, but his first start is against the Dodgers at home. So I think with Bryce Wilson and Jose Quintana, I just got to go zero because I don't trust him to face the Dodgers.
Yeah, I don't trust Quintana. I know he's pitched all right. I think he's, you know, more fortunate than anything else. So, yeah, double zeros.
I mean, I'll probably throw an 0-0 against the Reds, but
you know, they're going to do some damage at some point.
I don't know about that.
They're the best 3-22 team I think I've seen.
I don't think you've ever seen another 3-22.
It goes on one.
All right, so the San Diego Padres, no two starters for them, and I would just want to throw out the obligatory caveat here that these are all tentative. So be sure to check out rotowire.com, rotowire.com/try. For a free 10-day trial on us, you can get a better idea of how our grid is forecasting next week, closer to lineup lock and closer to fab lock. But we'll do our best here with the information we have and the best guesses in our grid at the moment.
There's a pretty good chance that if you guys are listening to this, not live, but you downloaded it, there's probably been five changes already with the weather going on.
Oh, that's so true. Just a brutal weather day today. Robbie Ray. He gets the Phillies at home and then at the Mets. I don't know that Robbie Ray is like a five right now. I think he's a four. I think you're starting him, but you know, I like to reserve the five for those top-tier guys. I just don't think he's there.
I think he's still a top-tier guy. Was it last night he pitched and, you know, got out? Tampa got out to a lead, but he kind of hung, you know, kept the team in it. They didn't come back all the way, or did they? I think mixing games up at this point. But I like the way
Ray was watching some of that. They did not come back.
Yeah, they started to come back, and oh, that's right, because I was wondering with Brooks Raley, I was wondering who would be the close. You know, which of the 15 opportunists would get the save last night for the Rays? Because Kittredge, I believe, got it the previous game, and the answer is Brooks Raley. It's coming back to me now. But I did like the way Ray hung in there. And did give Seattle a chance. Your old friend Jesse Winker hit his first homer off a lefty, nonetheless, or no less. But I'm still going five for Ray.
Yeah, it was good to see Jesse finally. He's had a lot of tough luck this year, so good to see Jesse get on the board and against McClain. All right, Alex Wood, Colorado,
Lewis. Definitely not a five, but I think he's probably – let me look at some of these other grades. I guess I'd put him – you know, I think I'd have him right on par with Tyone, so right at three. Alex Wood, three for me.
Alex Wood, you know, one of my favorite lines I've been using for 20-something years is Alex Wood pitches really well in between IL stints. Well, I've only been saying IL for a couple of years. It's usually DL, but he hasn't been hurt all that much lately. I'm going to go. You know what? I'm going four. I don't remember what I just said, but I'm going four. Lefty versus Colorado always interests me.
Yeah, it seems like since that year with the Reds, he's suddenly found his health. So. Good for Alex Wood, though. I have him in a lot of leagues, and I'm pulling for him.
Yep.
Adam Wainwright versus Baltimore versus San Francisco. That's pretty darn nice. So he had a good outing the other day. I think it was yesterday. Didn't he, like, shut out? Yeah, shut out the Royals. Not the toughest opponent, but good to see that. And then these two positive matchups, four for me. He's not quite a five.
Four for me. I'm not a Hall of Fame guy, but has his rejuvenation at least have him in the picture now after two or three years of just, ugh?
Maybe. Pretty darn iffy for me,
though. Does he need a playoff run? Does he need one more playoff run or something? I know that shouldn't matter, but I was so anti Wainwright, even when he's been good the past couple of years, but the skills have kind of ticked up again this year to where it's not completely luck.
Yeah. Would you agree on four then for Wainwright?
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
And Corey Kluber, I mean, maybe he's four too, even though he gets the Angels, and the Angels actually leading baseball in scoring at the moment, and then versus Toronto. So that actually is kind of a tough two-step for the Kluber, but I don't think I'm going to give him a four, but I'll give him a three.
I have him in the two range, but I could give him more innings to the three range, but I'm going to stick with a two for now.
Two, okay. Those are kind of tough matchups. Got you for a two on Corey Kluber, and then Taylor Hearn's got to be a zero, right?
Yeah, I don't know that I was on him enough to call him a huge loss. You know, in the win-loss ledger, I'm going to give myself a small case L with Taylor Hearn.
No, that's okay. Yeah,
because I thought he was better. I mean, I thought he was serviceable, especially as a primary pitcher, but they're not using him in that role. But zero here, the lowest ranked two-star pitcher on my board, even below Vladimir Gutierrez.
Wow, that's quite an indictment on Taylor Hearn. No two-star starters for Toronto. I was thinking about cutting Yusei Kikuchi in the Stake League last night because I'm not going to be starting him this week at the Yankees, but he did just have one encouraging outing, so holding Kikuchi.
Do a bit of a dive. I don't remember. I quickly read about it. I didn't have time. I'm still moving. I'm done moving. I'm still unpacking. He unleashed a new pitch and new arm angle last night.
I didn't know that. I just saw he finally, like
– yeah.
Like walks have been a problem.
Yeah. It was just kind of made a note. I kind of wanted to see if Eno talked about it or someone like that. But I think he changed his arm angle and unleashed a new pitch last night. So I think it's worth doing a bit of a dive to see what's going on with Kikuchi.
Yeah. Good points. I didn't know that. So definitely good to know. I will dig in. But yeah, I just saw the one walk against 7Ks, and that was against New York. I'm not going to throw him out there at New York. But at least some signs of life, and so I'll be holding for now.
All right, so real quick, apparently he's using a slider instead of a cutter. Yeah. And who's to say that that's not a different classification of the same pitch? It may have changed just less of a leg kick. So it may just be the same pitch with, you know, a different classification. But it's worth looking into.
And his teammate Jose Berríos, he's kind of been like the loose wheel or whatever you call it in this rotation. Like he's the one who's kind of supposed to be leading the charge, and he's been the worst one. So he's got a 5.34 ERA now. Gausman and Manoah have been just fantastic, but
I think Berríos will be there at the end. I mean, it's not, you know, of course he'll be there at the end because he always has been. We're not going to see the next level that some of us thought we might see, but I think Berríos will be fine. This is the perfect guy where someone else is going to say, I'm benching him until I see a good start. If I have him, he's in there for me.
And no reason to consider Patrick Corbin, right? 0-5 with a 7.16 ERA.
No, but didn't he? Because Corbin likes to troll us. Didn't he just have a really good outing in Coors? I'm not saying started because of it.
Complete game, I guess. Yeah, eight innings.
Yeah. So I'm not saying started because of it, but that's what Patrick Corbin does, friends. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Still gave up 9 hits.
But, right. Yeah. 3 Ks, no walks. You know. But yeah. So it's just that 7.16 ERA. In what 7.16 ERA includes, you know, a decent Coors outing. So it tells you how bad he was previous.
JP, by the way, yeah, we did touch on Luis Castillo for 2. I got Castillo as a 2, Todd's a 3 on the 0-5 scale. And we'll recap all these grades right now and also post these in the show notes, as I said. Humberto Castellanos, 0. Kyle Bradish, I got a 1, Todd, 0. Kyle Hendricks, 2. Luis Castillo, I say 2, Todd, 3. Vladimir Gutierrez, 0. Zach Plesac, 1. Austin Gomber, 2. Lucas Giolito, 5. Michael Kopech, 4. Michael Pineda, 3. Tarik Skubal, I say 3, Todd, 4. Brad Keller, I say 1, Todd, 0. Noah Syndergaard, 4. Julio Urias, 5. Eliezer Hernandez, I say 0, Todd, 2. Brandon Woodruff, 5. Carlos Carrasco, I say 4, Todd, 3. Jameson Taillon, 3. Paul Blackburn, I say 4, Todd, 3. Frankie Montas, 5. Zach Wheeler, 5. Ranger Suarez, 2. Bryce Wilson, 0. Jose Quintana, 0. Robbie Ray, I say 4, Todd, 5. Alex Wood, I say 3, Todd, 4. Adam Wainwright, 4. Corey Kluber, I say 3, Todd, 2. Taylor Hearn, 0. Patrick Corbin, 0. Well, great stuff, Todd. I look forward to catching you and your new co-host on MLB Network Radio, Eric Halterman, tomorrow. And I look forward to hosting on Mother's Day on XM with you. That'll be fun to chat on Sunday as well. So anything else on your mind today before we sign off?
Yeah, so we're up to 4 postponed. Man. Check out. Give Eric a listen tomorrow on MLB. I think it's 7 p.m. Eastern. And the Z files went up and hope to get back on a regular schedule with that. I think it's an interesting piece about what's actually been happening under the hood with the ball and why the averages and home runs as they are. So a little bit technical, no player recommendations, but I kind of, you know, it's kind of my forte to do things like that.
Yeah, you're the best at it, man. And look forward to that. You do all right. You're the man, and
I have my moment.
Look forward to talking with you again. Sunday and then next week, Friday. So hope you'll join us then, and good luck with your fantasy teams this week. Talk to you soon on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast.